welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook, and I'm saying that in a slightly different intonation because sometimes, as a host of a podcast, you get a little bit bored of saying the same things every time. But that's where the end of the similarities end. Yeah, that's right. That's the right word. I can speak English because this week we have different people. Returning is Chris White.
Hello, Adam. How are you?
No, that's not going to work, mate. That's not the energy I need.
I am a robot.
No, you're a real boy, Chris.
Okay. Hello. Hi.
All right, mate.
How are you? I'm marvellous.
That's better. Let's fuck the peak in on the mic, I expect, quite early on there, but that's fine. You could hear Gary Bailey tittering away there, I believe.
A little bit, yeah. Hi.
All right, everyone. You all right? Yeah, that's good. And also back with us, finally. And back with us in, well, he's closer to us than he was last time we spoke to him. It's Adam Carroll.
How are we, lads?
All right, but how are you? That's an important thing.
I'm good, and I'm going to say straight off, because I know last week I was missing.
Yeah.
And you had the discussion of, is it now finally over to say Happy New Year? Well, it's not for me, motherfuckers, so I'm going to say it. Happy New Year to you, because...
Yeah, I had someone say that to me today.
Yeah, there you
go. Twice now.
It's still going. It's still going. I'm going to... It's my New Year's resolution is to keep saying Happy New Year for the rest of the year.
I was told you can say it until the 31st.
Really?
I don't know. I don't think anyone would, but, you know.
Well, technically, you can say it whenever you want. You just might get punched.
Guys, you certainly can, my man. Do you know?
And Adam's going to prove that. We are we're in an interesting period of the year because it's a busy January, but it's not. We're not quite into big hitter territory. Like, we talked about this before, and we've all mentioned Resident Evil 2. I'm going to ask the question if any of us have played the... Well, I know Chris has played the demo, so we won't talk about that. But have any... Gary and Adam, have you played the demo?
Yes.
Nope. I refuse. I refuse.
I haven't, and that means I'm not the only one. Did you... Were you trying not to, Adam, or did you just...
I want to quickly say one thing without saying anything about the demo. I just want to put out there that... I was definitely on the fence about it, like you are, and
playing it.
Yeah, I was. I was
not the actual game.
Not in the actual game. But I was just like, do I want this? Do I just wait? Whatever, right? If I'm brutally honest, right, it just makes you want the game so
much more. That's exactly why I don't want to play it. And also, in my defense, I don't want to play it because I think Chris has played through this part of the game. Two separate preview events, and I've edited the video, so I've already seen all of this at least twice. So,
yeah. Well, like,
I don't know.
The thing about it is, there's quite an amount to experience, obviously, within your 30-minute kind of experience, and like, it's just you kind of panic because you feel you should just go ahead and do it because they did say you get rewarded if you finish the demo. You're doing your bollocks because I finished it and I got no reward. So I don't know what they're talking about. I think it's just like a cutscene or something.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I think it was a trailer, wasn't it?
Like, yeah.
It's a trailer with a bit of the end, which they have now, I believe, announced anyway.
Which, if I'm honest, I didn't actually want that. I don't want to see any more. I just, when you're giving me the choice to pay. But it's a cool little idea, and it kind of makes you just realise how much fun demos are. Like, it just adds to that whole thing of getting it in a magazine kind of job, you know, and only having that certain period of time. But yeah, we're nearly there, lads. It's almost time.
I think I did say to Adam, I think, it was like, if they'd released this demo like a month earlier, then yeah, I would have been all over it. But I think because I only had to wait another 2 weeks, I was like, you know what, I'm good.
Without going into what the content is, because I kind of don't want to know. Chris, you've played this demo, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, Gary and you have seen what's in this demo, more or less, from that video.
So that's what I was going to ask you. I was hoping this was like, do you remember what they did with Resident Evil 7?
Yeah.
Where it was kind of the game, but also sort of not. There was
I know what you mean.
Is it that, or is it just part of the game?
To be honest, there are bits I hadn't seen. Some of the puzzles were taken.
Yeah, but it's quite a big area.
Some of the puzzles were taken away. Like when I played it back in, God, was it August?
Or something? Yeah, August and November.
Somewhere like that, yeah. The puzzle to get into Leon's desk and find, is it Matilda? His gun. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's just not there because you've already got it. So that takes away some of the minutes you would have spent doing it. It's more like you just exploring it and just... You do fight zombies. You fight the same ones that you did in that demo, but the bit that ends, I hadn't seen, which is kind of cool. Like I'm past that. I've played it now. I've played quite a bit of it, so I don't. I'll play it when it comes out. I'm looking forward to do so. But I've played quite a bit of it that I haven't got. I've got the excitement, but I know what it's going to be like because I feel like I've played
though.
5 or 6 hours of it now. So.
Interesting that you still played the demo, even though you've already played it. Also, Chris, have you got a stinking cold, or have you just, like, sexied your voice
Mate,
up 10 notches?
I've been horrible all weekend. I've been so ill since Friday. That was really bad Friday, Saturday. Now I'm just coming at the end, so I do apologise to the audience. If you are mildly aroused by this, I can't help it. You're just going to have to find a way to control yourself. But, yes.
Well, let's stick with you, Chris, because Capcom are... Well... I'm just thinking, I can't really reveal the score. Well, no. I can, because this will go up early, actually. But not early enough that we'd be breaking embargo, thankfully. Capcom are smashing at the moment because you have reviewed Onimusha Warlords, which is... Was that not the original name game of...
No.
Was that not the original name?
So the original name was Onimusha, and then it got re-released on Xbox as Onimusha Warlords. It came out on PS2 and PC back in 2001 as
but
Onimusha.
But I kind of feel Capcom need to stop doing this. Like I don't actually. The thing is, I'm a Capcom fan in that, like back in the day when I was younger, like nowadays I'd say like a publisher that I like a lot of their games perhaps is like Ubisoft or Nintendo or Sony, or Microsoft obviously. But where Capcom used to be that one, they actually still are. So I don't mind playing these games again because they're kind of like some of my favourite games, like Onimusha. But I kind of feel like what they didn't do with the Resident Evil remake, they just called it Resident Evil in the same way they're calling Resident Evil 2. It's just called Resident Evil 2.
Yeah. I feel like it's similar
Why couldn't they have just turned it around the other way? So you know how in Japan they're called Biohazard, and over here they're called Resident Evil. Why couldn't they just... switch them this time around it was like Biohazard Resident Evil and Biohazard 2 Resident Evil. I don't know, why couldn't they? Why is it just me that is irrationally annoyed by this? Battlefield, it's like kind of like Xbox just calling themselves Xbox now.
Like, I think it's a bit similar to Star Wars, how it was Star Wars and then they released more and they gave them episode titles. So I don't know whether that's got anything to do with it.
But these are remakes and re-releases.
I don't know.
Okay. I'm just annoyed by it, Chris. Sorry.
But the game's pretty good. Like,
well, I wasn't really interested in the game, mate, to be honest. I was more interested in the naming conventions of video games. But...
Cool. Next game.
No, but talk about behind the curtains. The curtains are wide open. I've put my head through because I know the answer, but I'm going to ask for the audience. But like, this game was of its ilk. It was in that Resident Evil era, and it was tank controls.
It was.
Is it still?
No longer is it tank controls. You can, because obviously this is still a D-pad, and if you play around with the D-pad, it's tank controls. However, thanks to that lovely little invention in the middle, you can move around freely. And
PlayStation button, Chris?
Yeah, X. The X button. No, you are...
I am trying to wind him up as he's ill as much as I can.
Yeah, you fucker.
It's not working.
The good thing is, like, the when you're using that analog stick, the combat is a lot easier to kind of use because... I tried to think back to how it used to control, but it's so hard because it was so long ago. And like when you've tried tank control since then, like now, it's awful. So trying to do that and fight, especially when you've got a lot of these demons, or even the boss battles are tricky, so it takes that away. However, because it's still like static scenes that you move between, if you move in and you move into the next scene, then and it's like kind of aiming a different way. If you take your finger off the stick,
you get that little weird motion where it runs the wrong way for a moment.
Yes, and it happens until the end. So it's not the end of the world because you kind of get used to it and you don't let go of that stick unless you
Devil
absolutely
May Cry
have
games used to do that.
Yeah,
too.
Dino Crisis, Resi, they all kind of all do it. But in terms of like that little addition makes this a hell of a lot better. And it's like it still looks like a PS2 game, but the kind of visuals have been improved, It still looks like an old game, but to be fair, they've done quite a lot. Like, if I mean, they've basically re-recorded a lot of the voice acting. They've written, this new music's been written for the soundtrack. There's a fair amount done to it, but like there's been no new bits added. It's just the same game. So like, I've forgotten how kind of short this game is. So when you
was it
when well when I finished the game, I looked at, like, obviously when you save, it tells you the time. It was 3 hours 28 minutes.
Now what?
I don't remember it being that short.
Bear in mind, I would say it'd be more about 5 or 6 hours in total, because like there were times where I do it all the time where you forget to save and then you do a load and then you die and then it loads back up at your last save and you're fucking miles away. Yeah. So there were times when I had to
never done that, for the record.
Oh, I'm useless.
I am a habitual, or like saves. I sometimes save and then I go and I save before I'm about to stop and then I'm like, shit, did I definitely save? And I save again.
Yeah, I have a tendency to forget. And there's remember the original where there was a thing called the Dark Realm, and it's essentially a leveled
like in Devil May Cry, where you go into a portal and it's like combat arenas, but there's different floors.
Essentially, that
correctly.
Is it. Yeah, so it allows you to build up a load of.
My memory is great for games and bad for everything else.
Your currency builds up, and then you can end up upgrading your weapons and stuff. But you get your
your
weapons only level up to 3 anyway. So playing naturally and making sure to harvest all the souls in the game, you will eventually upgrade. But you know, when you get there's basically you play the game up until a point right near the end called the Demon World, and once you go past that, you can't go anywhere back, and you have to fight these two bosses. So ideally, you need to be making sure everything's maxed out. But it's
3 hours.
3 hours 28 minutes.
Sure, absolutely sure. You didn't like quaff too much cough mixture and somehow go time traveling.
No, I'm not saying like I only played it for 3.5 hours, because I think it was more 5 or 6. But because like obviously
still
you die or whatever or you. But it was 3 hours 28 minutes. I remember, because I remember checking and thinking, wow, fuck, that wasn't long. But it felt a lot longer. Like, I don't know. That was
maybe,
what it was
maybe
doing
doesn't
when I was
take,
saving
like cutscenes into account.
I think it might be one of those games that only counts actual times you're playing.
Yeah, but I still
like
feel
you're in
like
direct control. That's still not a lot.
5-6 hours is still short. But I mean,
it's a cut price release though, isn't it? Only like sort of 15-16 quid or something like that. So it's
is it?
Like, yeah, I don't think they've re-released it 30-40 quid.
Oh, that's okay.
That's what I was hoping, because I just saw like I think like. The two Hitman games have come out now or something, remastered. They're 60
euro.
They came out this like the past Friday, and like I saw the announcement and thought they were like a way off, and nobody sent us code. Nobody even asked if we wanted to like cover it. Like not to, you know, we're talking about Onimusha, but I feel like I at one point thought Warner Brothers were like, oh, someone finally gets Hitman. They get it.
Yeah, yeah.
They've just done it dirty again.
Yeah, that just
for the record,
is not right.
Just for the record, there's a great website for this sort of thing called How Long to Beat.
Yeah, use that.
And like literally, Onimusha Warlords main story 5 hours, completionist 12 hours. So there you go.
Okay.
Like, but so you what you said about 5 hours, you're right. Like that's, I definitely feel like it was. But then Resident Evil was like you could speed run it in an hour and a half, couldn't you? Like that.
Yeah.
It does feel like the same.
There are still some puzzles that, like there's a puzzle that. Took me about half an hour, and that when you if you don't solve it in enough time, you'll die. And then it's like a puzzle where Samonosuke is like under like going slowly underwater, and Kaida, she has to solve this puzzle. And if you don't do it, he drowns. So you then have to go back to the bit that you did before then, with a floor puzzle, and this one with like these barriers come down, and you can. It's just. It can be frustrating, but it's still a good game. Like I love it. I love the different like the way you can just switch through your different weapons and how they've all got specific abilities depending on the three elements of like fire, wind, and water, and heart and Captain Planet reference for all you kids out there. I did enjoy it a lot. And sorry, mate.
I just want to say quickly there, Chris, for you, because you were saying just about like the difficulty, or not the difficulty, the puzzle taking you a half hour and stuff like that, and dying.
Yes.
Like, the difficulty. I vividly remember playing this game and finding it incredibly hard.
Yeah, so...
Is it still...
No, I think with games like Dark Souls and Nioh...
Hang on, are we going to compare it to Dark Souls?
Well, do you know what? I made a comparison in the review, gamereader.ungazageek.com, where it shows how clearly Dark Souls was inspired by this. There's a hell of a lot...
Chris, stop. Please don't say these things.
No, I'm going to say these things. And if you guys out there don't like it, don't listen. I know our patrons will love us. And maybe future patrons, you know, we're
patreon.
On...
Patreon.com/GrindersGeek.
Yeah, we're on a wavelength. Listen. We're on a wavelength, guys. But I just think there's a lot in here that makes... It does make it difficult. And especially, like, there's three bosses in particular, the final two. And then there's this...
Someone is absolutely going to comment and go, actually, FromSoft were developing this well before Capcom even thought of the samurai genre.
Yeah, someone's just had an aneurysm. But the boss is like, they're really well developed and there's like, with a no health bar, that becomes a bit of a pain because you've got no idea where you're going and they don't follow typical, like... stages, like a lot of bosses and not just Souls games, in everything have the three stage kind of thing. They don't in this, and especially the last one takes a while to beat, like at least
actually,
20 minutes.
I think you'll find that FromSoft pioneered the three phase boss fight in a third person action adventure game, Christopher.
I know. I'm sorry everyone. I know Souls is the be all and end all, the best franchise ever.
Hey, and we like those games.
We do like those games. We don't like some of the fans that are...
Stop. Hang on. Let's not be doing all this wee shit. Your opinion's your own, Chris. Like, you know, on God is a Geek, you're allowed to say I in a review, so,
yeah, don't,
you know.
Yeah, don't Bebo me. But, yeah, there you
what?
Go. Hey, people say don't at me, don't they? And it kind of, that's another thing that winds me up. So I'm saying don't Bebo me to be cool, and because Bebo's an old social media platform. Anyway... Yes. Onimusha, yep. Go play it.
I like Cold Chris.
It's well worth your time.
Don't give a fuck.
I don't. Not right now. I've been ill for a long. I've not talked to anyone.
Oh well. And just us.
I've missed communications with the outside world. So yeah.
See, I think I'd be quite alright. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah. Onimusha Warlords was never that. Still good. Never called that originally. But it is now, and it's out on PS4. Very well today.
And yeah, Switch, isn't
if
it?
You're a Patreon. And Switch we will have. Mikhail is doing it for Switch Report as well. So
I'm looking forward to that.
Because you know.
I think if I pick this up, I wouldn't mind replaying it on the Switch.
You say that, Gaz, but you don't want to play a combat game like this on Switch. And I know you don't because you reviewed Dark Souls on Switch.
Oh, but it's not quite the same, is it?
It's. Yeah, fine.
It depends on how it runs. Like Dark Souls
run
like
it should
balls
run fine. It should run just fine. I forgot. Well, we'll segue into it. Like, let's talk about Mario. I've been playing New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, which is, let's just say it, a terrible name for this game. Yeah. And I was looking through how many Mario games there are now on the Switch. There's a lot. And I was looking through my Switch library and I realised I had Dark Souls. And it made me go, oh yeah, Dark Souls came out on this, didn't it? And it's like, that's just... Anyway, apart from the terrible name of this game, right, this... It makes me feel really sad, this game, and it's quite a good game, but it makes me feel a bit miserable because I don't think we're going to get a new Mario for a long time, right? And I feel like when it comes to taking the Wii U games, right, there's three main Mario games on the Wii U. There was this, well, without the deluxe moniker, there was Mario 3D World, and there was Mario Maker, okay?
Yeah, and they chose the third best one.
They literally could have chose either of the other two, and they didn't. Now, that either means we're going to get those other two, or I just...
The only thing
that... This is the better-selling game. This game sold really well.
Yeah.
It's one of the few Wii U games that actually sold well.
Wasn't it one of the earliest launch titles? Yeah,
it was a launch title.
That's kind of it. But I think... Like, what I think they maybe went with this one for was... You had the four player on this, didn't you? I think Mario 3D World only had two player.
I'm not sure about that.
I'm not 100%. I'd have to look that up, but I just wonder if that was like the thinking behind it. You know, they were going for like the full on. You know, you can have all these players rather than just the two of you.
Yeah, but the thing about that, guys, is this game, like all the new Mario Super Mario games, it's great that you can do it in co-op, but it's bad.
Yeah,
it's not. These games aren't built for having multiple, person-controlled Marios on screen. Like, there's some cool stuff in here. Like, I like the Peachette stuff or Toadette or whatever. I can't even bloody remember. It's just how forgettable it is. Toadette. I like the Toadette stuff. I like that Nabbit's in there because it's basically invincible. But that's it. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like the Donkey Kong game in that they added, like, an easy mode, didn't they, to Tropical Freeze. And that's essentially what they've done with this by adding new characters. And it's the same thing, really. Like, instead of Funky Kong or whatever it was, they've added Toadette and Nabbit as, like, playable completely from start to finish. I just want a little more. I just want a little more. I don't think if someone else did this, they'd get away with it.
No, I mean, I don't think this game's price does it any favours. So I just think it's like, what, 45 quid, something like that. And this is a game that was, like, even the one with the U, Luigi U, sorry.
Yeah.
Was released as a classics game on the Wii U. So was you could it? Get it, yeah, you could get it like 20, 25 quid, whatever. So why is it suddenly, you know, 20 quid
more? I will
more?
Say
it
this
no
is
sense.
Actually a good game. Like, it is a good game. Adam, did you play it on Wii U? When imagine you must have.
I was actually talking to a friend about this, that I actually never sat down and played the Wii U version. The only time I really kind of had a go off that kind of style of Mario was probably within Maker, when you were able to change that way of the game. I just remember it being very floaty, and
it doesn't feel quite as tight in this style of Mario, but it is actually remarkably tight. There are some really good level design late on in this game. It's brutally difficult for a Mario game as well in spots, but, like, I mean, have you bought it?
No, and I've been sitting on that and Tales of Vesperia for the Switch and all since they both came out, and I don't know really if I want to pay that much money for this game, like, as we're just basically talking about. Like, I think the price is, kind of, like, to a lot of people, they won't notice. They'll just be like, this is like another Mario game, is it? And it's, a lot of kids and parents are going to be kind of caught with that, I think. But, like, people like who play video games on a daily basis know that when it came out with the Wii U that it's a bit too much, maybe. But at the same time, like, they're never going to give you a Mario game for cheap.
No.
You're just not going to get it. Like, that's.
And I don't think you're going to get another Mario game for a while. I really don't.
Yeah. And this game probably won't even fucking go on sale, like, you know?
No, never. It definitely won't.
It doesn't happen. And I don't know. I can do without it for now. It's not essential for me, if I'm honest.
But yet, you did buy Mario Party. Sorry, Super Mario Party.
And I think they should change the goddamn title of that game. Because I'm going to say it, lads, I don't think this game is that fun.
Oh. Really? Controversial. Yeah. Actually, it's not. I'm the weird one. I like them. I've always liked them, though.
No,
I know they're bullshit.
Like this one. I thought it was really good.
Look, I'm going to. This game is too slow. It's too goddamn slow. And, like, I've now played it with, like, four other people or three other people and stuff. And, like, you kind of feel like, and I've played it even like when we're all having beers and stuff, and you're like, yeah, you kind of nearly sober up playing this game, because it's like like each turn takes too long to come around. I don't like that we can see the dice, the numbers. I think that the fact of the two dice is some of the numbers don't make any sense whatsoever. Like, I think recently I was playing Luigi, and I think Luigi has like a dice that goes like 1-1-1-4-5-6 or something along that line.
Yeah.
And the other dice is like 4-5-3-2-6. And you're just like, well, I'm just going to keep rolling this dice because I don't want a 1. And I think the boards, like the maps, they're rubbish. They're not.
They're a bit too small.
They're just really just like, okay, whatever. And when you get into the mini games, which, now, to be honest, the mini games are great. I think the majority of the mini games are fantastic. There's a lot of fun ones. They just end too quickly. Like,
but a mini.
Like, do you know when you start a mini game and it shows you like how to play it? I actually found the group of people that I was playing it with, we'd actually just do that way more. Like, and then we go, okay, well, let's just actually do it now. Do you know, you'd play it for nearly like 5 minutes and you'd just be like, this is hilarious. And then you play it and then it'd be over and then you're back to the board. And it's, I just don't think it's really all that action-packed. Like, there's far more fun games to be playing. And I think the Mario Party series has kind of suffered this for quite some time. And I think if people love it, that's great and everything. But I would rather, like, play Smash, like, or play Mario Kart if I'm going to have a load of people over. Like, and it's just too goddamn slow. And it's, like, even when you get to the items and stuff, like, you're kind of going, oh, whatever. And then it's not really that punishing. And then the rewards are not really that great. It just takes, like, 5 coins and you're like, oh, fuck it, whatever. And I don't really know. The balance of the game is kind of all over the place. Like,
that's nothing new.
Yeah, I know it's...
Mario Party revels in its bullshit. It's designed to make you angry because you're 4 stars ahead of everyone else, but then it awards you someone else random 2 stars for just playing the game.
Exactly.
It's designed to be bullshit. And it's great at it.
It is. And then, like, the whole thing of, like... to me, right, when you play it with a group of friends and you got... One of your friends is just in the shitter from the word go. It's just, like, bad luck. All that, to me, is hilarious. That's funny. Mm-hmm. And that's a funny moment. And then Nintendo just starts being Nintendo, which... But, like, I love Nintendo. Like, I really love them. But all of a sudden, they start feeling bad for this person. They go, oh, look, here you go. Have all these coins and have all these items. Let's boost you forward. That happened to me recently, and I got stung and came last. And I was way ahead. And I was like, what is going on here? This is ridiculous. And yep. I think that, to me, is where the game just fails.
But that's Nintendo's ultimate lesson to you. Winning is not the be-all and end-all of anything.
Yeah, like, okay, but how many Mario Parties, how many Mario Party games have we had? Is this like the 11th?
I don't know. 11th, I think it might be the 11th, yeah.
I think it's the 11th game.
Not including some of the other, like the 3DS ones, spin-offs.
Like, the general idea is so good. Like, the idea of Mario Party sounds amazing, but there's too much bullshit. There's just too much bullshit, and it's just too slow. And, like, you genuinely start, like, almost, like, drifting off.
I enjoyed it.
But see, this, I can see the enjoyment when you're playing it with, like, say, your kids or something.
Yeah.
That I can get, yeah. Because your kids are finding the enjoyment, like, the visuals, everything, all this kind of stuff. And that's fantastic. But when you're, when there's, like, 4 30-year-old lads... And you're all sitting there and you're all, like, having cans and stuff. And then you're like...
Yeah, maybe not.
Okay, it's your turn. And you're just sitting there and you get... It's just not that exciting opposed to, like...
What would you rename it then?
I don't know. Fucking Super Mario Bollocks. I don't know.
Okay, so Super Mario Bollocks and I'm renaming Mario Brothers to not so new Super Mario Brothers.
I've heard people... I have heard people say that this is their favourite Mario Party game. And that's great.
It's not my favourite. It's my favourite in a long time. Like, I haven't loved them for a while. And I still I don't think I've ever loved them, but I do enjoy this. I feel like it's just enjoyable. Like you say, with the right audience.
Yeah. There's all these small things, like, when you're starting off in the bar and you're like, oh, come on. Like, and you're all doing that hand clap, the 4 of you together or whatever. And you're
that's
like,
great. I love that.
It's great, but is it great after the 10th time?
Yes.
It's not.
I am really now trying just to not focus on the idea of Nintendo like doing a direct and saying, and now Super Mario Bollocks. Because
I just think, like, it's really strange that they haven't really nailed it. Like, it's on paper a fantastic idea, but why can't it just be like, mini games are always just coming at you at an alarming rate and it's just fast.
But you can do that. There's modes for that.
There is modes, but the general, like, you know, like if you play an hour session, 10 turns or whatever.
You try the tile mode, what's it called? It gives you a board that reminds me a bit of Catchphrase, where there's like a board that you have to take control of.
Deep down, what do you think? There's a ton of content within this game.
There is actually in this one, yeah. I think there's lots.
You think
did you play like the rafting? game? Like where
the
you...
rafting mini one?
Yeah, yeah the music ones.
No, like the it's a whole game, like a separate game where...
Yeah,
no,
there's the, that's what I'm saying. There's like three or four different Mario Party games in here that aren't the board game. There's like a rafting one. There's a rhythm-based one. There's, like I say, there's this kind of board one where you have to... You just play the mini games, and when you get a mini game, you have to pick a tile on a board, and you have to try. It's almost a bit like Connect Four in some respects as well.
Like that's a lot more fun.
It's a lot more here than normal.
Like even just to like for just a minute, like the mini games, as I said, they are so funny. Like some of them are so funny, and all of a sudden it's just over, and you're like, oh. And it feels like they just take it from you and you're like, oh, I just want to have the fun. And you're just back again and you're like, all right, it's your turn. You roll the dice and everything is so goddamn slow. It's like, come on. Even going to the item shop is just like, would you go away? I don't want an item. Just let me pass you. Let me pass. It's that to me just, it's their most.
Like, when did Adam become such a grump?
Well, no, you, no me, guys. But no, like, it's just... It's just one of those things that, like, when you had it for Christmas and the holidays and you're around with friends, it just, I felt like we all had Smash, which, by the way, let me just quickly say, we did Smash for quite a few rounds of, like, four player. Jesus Christ, it's so hard to see what's going on.
Like, oh, yeah.
Honestly, there was a moment where my character, I couldn't find my character, and I kept controlling him off the map. I was like, where is he? And I just like kept killing myself, jumping off the map. It's carnage. But that to me is a lot more fun. I just, if going forward, I just want to see that, what they have done for the likes of Mario Kart and what they have done for the likes of Smash, I want to see that happen for Mario Party. Because I think they are on the right track, but they just don't need to be so friendly, like, within this game. Like,
so coming to a Switch near you, new Super Mario Party.
Oh, probably Deluxe.
Fuck you, Deluxe Edition.
Yeah, but no, that was the Wii U. New Super Mario U.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, yeah.
I see what you did there.
You know, how they don't spell things properly. Should we move away from Mario Party before Adam has an aneurysm?
Please.
Before we get into news, we won't dwell on this too long because, you know, we're not going to judge or review a beta, but I have a question for you, Gary, about Dead or Alive 6.
Go for it.
Is it still, in terms of a series, a very good fighting game that is unfortunately marred in most people's eyes because of the tits?
I know.
Judging by what I've seen in the beta, like there was only two women in the beta. There was Ayane and...
You only need one, Gaz.
It was Ayane and Kazumi, but neither of them had, like, revealing costumes.
Yet.
But to be fair, anyone who has a problem with that, they can just fuck off.
No, but, just, like, what I'm saying is... The thing about DOA is it's actually a good fighting game. It's a really good fighting series.
It's one of my favourites in terms of the way it plays.
But I don't want to play a fighting game where if my wife walks through the room, I'm like, I'm sorry, this isn't what it looks like.
Well, I mean, by the looks of it, I don't think that... Well, I think they did say a while back when they first announced it that they were kind of moving away from it a bit. So whether that will stick, I don't know.
I'm telling you now, it'll be the DLC.
Oh, yeah. I hope this one doesn't, cause they can't do what they did with Dead or Alive 5 when they re-released it and then did, there was like
£1,000 worth of DLC.
Yeah, it was like six season passes, all like 80 quid each. And it's like, oh,
no,
what?
I'm not joking,
that's
Adam.
Ridiculous.
I'm serious. If you wanted all of DOA 5, you would have to spend over £1,000.
Yeah,
I'm genuinely serious.
What was in it? What was included?
They were all costumes. That was all it was.
Multiple costumes. Just £1,000 worth of add-on stuff, yeah.
Filthy perverts. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like, I don't mind them releasing stuff like new costumes and that, but it was the fact that they did it with...
The phrase, don't mind releasing, has no business being anywhere near a Dead or Alive discussion. Uncomfortable, guys.
But yeah, it was the fact that they did that, and then they actually released a couple of extra characters as well, which, considering it was a re-release of... a PS3 and 360 game, you're like, surely it should have already had a full roster and you shouldn't be made to pay for more characters. And all these fucking season passes as well. They went but like, way too far.
But business practices aside, just for a minute, the game, is it good so far?
Yeah, I mean, I was well into that beta when I played it. It was dead or alive for me. Like, it plays very similar to the last ones. But the new special feature is quite nice, because I don't know if you remember, like, in 5, you could do special moves.
I remember nothing about 5.
There was, like, special moves that you could do, but they were pretty tough to pull off. It was a bit too much. You know, it was a bit awkward. Whereas this one, you do... It's just R1, but it works in different ways depending on the context and how much your gauge is filled. So if it's, like, half filled, you can only do certain things. If it's fully filled, you can do, like, super moves, basically. And you can do where, you know, you can normally parry moves. I think you press square, you can parry at the right time. So if someone tries hitting you, you just deflect it and you can give them a punch in the face. But this time, that was kind of, you could only do certain things. But this one is, if you've got enough of the meter filled, you can press R1. And if they're in the middle of quite a big combo or something like that, you can actually get out of it. So it's a nice little way of balancing things. I don't like the fact that you can get hit the moment it says fight, because you can kind of you move in before it says, you know, when it's like ready fight, you know, you can sort of move yourself a little bit into place. But I was playing people and it was like fight, I'm already getting a punch in the face. Like, that felt a bit cheap. I hope they just sort of fix that so you can't hit straight away like that. There's not really any way of reacting. But otherwise, I really enjoyed it. I'm very excited to play the full game now.
Not too long, was it? March 1st it's been delayed to us.
Yeah, it was only like 2 weeks. I suspect this beta was part of that. It was like...
Maybe
it was just a little bit of extra time to fix certain things.
Mm-hmm.
The netcode seemed all right from the beta, because when you load into a fight, or before you load into a fight, you've got an option. It comes up with this fighter has this connection strength.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to fight them because it's too low, get rid and move on. You can. I didn't realize this until like partway through the video I did, that you can filter it as well. So you can only play people with decent connection. But I think only once, which was during the video, it was like very choppy because I'd accidentally, but I was just like, fuck it, I'll just fight this person even though it's a low connection.
Mm.
But otherwise, it was pretty smooth. I had no problems. So hopefully that means that it's the full game will be decent online.
Let's hope so. Like, but you mentioned there, Gaz, you mentioned getting rid and moving on. And that brilliantly segues into news, doesn't it? Because getting rid and moving on...
Totally is meant to do it.
You didn't, because you would have stopped right there and realised that the longer you talked, the harder the segue was going to be. So getting rid and moving on is kind of... I don't know. We'll see what we all think. But it's kind of what Bungie and Activision have done with one another. So the story is essentially that despite signing a 10-year deal Bungie signed with Activision for their partnership, the publishing deal, they are no longer going to be doing that. After 8 years, Bungie's Destiny is going to come back to Bungie in terms of... Well, I'll just read the statement, shall I? This is from Bungie. When we first launched our partnership with Activision in 2010, the gaming industry was in a pretty different place. Which already sounds like it's not me, it's you, doesn't it? As an independent studio setting out to build a brand new experience, we wanted a partner willing to take a big leap of faith with both of us. We had a vision for Destiny that we believed in, but to launch a game of that magnitude, we needed the support of an established publishing partner. With Activision, we created something special. To date, Destiny has delivered a combination of over 50 million games and expansions to players all around the world. More importantly, we've also witnessed a remarkable community. I'm going to skip the community stuff because if you're part of it, you already know. We've enjoyed a successful 8-year run. I'd like to thank Activision for their partnership on Destiny. Looking ahead, we're excited to announce plans for Activision to transfer publishing rights for Destiny to Bungie. With our remarkable Destiny community, we are ready to publish on our own, while Activision will increase their focus on owned IP projects. We'll come back to that in a minute. The planned transition is already underway in its early stages. Bungie and Activision both committed to making sure the handoff is as seamless as possible. And then they go on about their roadmap and basically, thanks very much, we're all brilliant, thanks, carry on with us. Now, Activision will increase their focus on owned IP projects. So Activision, basically, I think, reading between the lines, I think this is Activision actually saying, we have had enough. We don't want to be plowing money into something we don't completely own and control.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's the general consensus or if people think this is Bungie saying we're going to buy it back or buy the rights back or whatever. But I think the fact that Activision specifically says will increase their focus on owned IP projects, you know, essentially they, the stuff they own.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What does Activision own now? Like
Guitar Hero.
I mean, I know that they've got Blizzard, haven't they? They so technically
well, yeah,
got
but that's
that,
a
but
sort
that's
of
kind
separate
of,
thing.
Yeah. But it's like, is it realistic now? Is it basically Call of Duty?
Crash Bandicoot.
Power Move Pro Wrestling.
Spyro. Let's do it. So let's type Activision in, right? Okay. Activision IP. What should we, let's try Activision. Right. Let's have a look at this. So if we click on... Cool, there's a lot of shit. Activision. 2010.
Let him know there.
So, okay, 2010 game. The game's sort of from 2010. So, Blur, well, forget about that.
Yeah.
Singularity, forget about that. They did have a deal with the Bond games. I don't think that's still there. Skylanders and Spyro. They don't own Destiny. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, I wonder.
Hmm. I wonder who owns that. I forgot they were publishing that.
But I wonder who owns that.
I wouldn't expect it to be Activision, to be perfectly honest.
So it might actually be easier to look at the studios they currently own. So they own Beenox, right? They own Demonware in both, apparently, Dublin and Vancouver. Mm. High Moon Studios, who I think may be the people who did the Deadpool game. Yep, Deadpool. And they did some work on Destiny. They did some Transformers-y stuff, but again, Transformers they don't own. Obviously, they own Infinity Ward, they own Raven, Sledgehammer,
Snoopy,
and Treyarch.
Snoopy's Grand Adventure.
Yeah, there you go. Toys for Bob they got. Vicarious Visions they've got.
Tony Hawk.
So yeah, but they don't have a license of Tony Hawk anymore.
Oh.
That deal expired, I think, last year or the year before. Like, Tony Hawk actually announced it because he's put out a game on mobile.
Roll 7 should have got that. Imagine yeah, Roll 7 doing a Tony Hawk game.
But basically...
Duck Dynasty.
It sounds like they have got.
I'll stop.
Because they don't even. Oh shit, you know what? Do they have Guitar Hero anymore? Because who made the last Guitar Hero live? If you remember correctly, Ubisoft bought that studio.
I don't remember.
Who made Guitar Hero live? I bloody well interviewed one of the people from that game, and I'm buggered if I can remember who. Freestyle Games. So, although they published it. Ubisoft bought Freestyle and called them Ubisoft Leamington. And I don't think they've done anything, actually.
Isn't it about time Activision did something new, though?
Maybe they are.
Well, they are with Sekiro, this is what I'm saying. Maybe.
Well, I mean, that's... can you really say that? I mean, I feel like an Activision-owned studio, it'd be nice to see them do something new, a complete new IP. Cause
but they don't have that many studios, do they? That's what I'm saying. Like,
the problem is,
you know, Beenox have been doing ports and Spyro games. Yeah,
you know, you've got three separate studios all working on Call of Duty, and
but they need that because this is as a blockbuster game that comes around every year. They need three studios to do that.
I mean, I get it, but it's the fact that each one is working on a different year's one. So it's like, why not just fucking take a break?
I know it's never going to happen,
but I just, like, Call of Duty needs a break. It's like, I know Black Ops 4 was really good, but I do think it needs a year off.
Why, though? Why does it need a year off from a business perspective, and why does it need a year off
from... a business perspective, it doesn't, because it still sells, because people buy it anyway.
Right, but that's the thing, though. It doesn't need a year off from any perspective.
It's still the same game that it's always been, and I think that's my issue. It's like, I feel like
it took you two podcasts to get back in the caravan, and you weren't even on the first one.
Oh, I missed the caravan.
Like, did you... I thought Chris had topped out having a go at FromSoft fans, but like saying the Call of Duty is the same every year is like
it is. It's the same fucking game. They just change the small little things, and it's just like I just think
like
it needs a big.
Gaz.
I think
like
it needs
sequels
a big.
Do.
They did, but that's the thing. They're not really sequels anymore. You think about it, it's like I don't think you could call Black Ops 4 a sequel, even though it's got the 4, because
I can,
because
it's
really...
literally a sequel to Black Ops 3. So that's
it's not really got a story.
But it's got a bad story.
It's just not really related to anything.
That's
just
one
thing I
want that back, by the way. Like
you'll get that next year. This year.
I want a campaign back. Like,
do you really? I didn't miss it.
I really do, because I love the campaigns. I
so
really
did.
So did
I, but I didn't miss it this year.
I did, because I think if that game came up with the campaign, I would have been like, this is probably the best Call of Duty in my opinion. But it's just because I still love that kind of single player aspect. But do you know, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know where they're going. I don't know what the hell.
But let's get back to the matter at hand here, like Destiny. That's what the actual story is. Destiny. Yeah. It's Activision are dominating our chat, but Destiny is, you know, like, I can't be certain, but I would guess that when they first announced Destiny with Activision, I bet, if not myself, someone on this podcast said, so they got out from under Microsoft when they felt like they were an oppressed studio and they jumped in with Activision. I'm sure I said something like that.
Sounds like you.
Yeah, that was miserable, yeah. But, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Destiny's struggling, and I think Anthem... Mix did a great video on Anthem, and... genuinely, Anthem has the possibility and the financial backing and the pedigree of the developer in the same way that Destiny did for the Bungie and Activision, that Anthem could really come along. And like, I don't know if you guys have seen it, and I haven't put it in the news, but IGN, you know the IGN first thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they've got like some 8 minutes of just like raw-ass gameplay of that game. And I hadn't really seen much of it because I kind of knew. I know I'll be playing it, and I find the problem with some of these games as a service, like the Destinies, is that I don't want to play the beta because I don't want to play that opening 4 times, you know?
Yeah.
And I watched this video, and wow, that's got potential. You know, it's always the possibility that it's like the developer of the game playing it and they've made it look seamless, but the actual combat looks fucking fast. Like real fast, and they're flying around, and it looks. That video did more to sell me on that game than anything that they've marketed it. And like, I just, where is Destiny though? You know, where is Destiny at?
I don't even think Bungie knows.
Yeah, like I don't know where Destiny's at. If I'm honest, like I never really see anybody but Mick talking about
it. Yeah,
and like that's not like Mick loves Destiny, and like. That's cool enough, but I don't know where it sits. I never hear anyone else.
Well, think of it this way, right? You know when they did that PlayStation thing where it's like, here's the games you've played the most and a lot of that, where you could see how much. It's like, for me, I know this is much less than most people, but I put 150 odd hours into the first Destiny, which is a lot for me. You know, I don't tend to play games that much, or at least not that type of game, I should say. But right. Destiny 2, I think I've put about 5 hours into it and I deleted it because I just didn't care.
I keep trying to go back to Destiny, but it's got too much content now. I know that's a silly thing to moan about.
No, it's like it's weird. It's like they fixed the fact that it's like, oh, here's a proper story now. But then something
went... Proper story?
Well, you know what I mean.
There's a thing... I know what you're getting at. It's just, you have the same problem I have with it. Everything about Destiny on paper should be your jam.
Yes.
Like I will not have it that the shooting's bad. The shooting is exceptional.
The shooting's very good.
But there is something about Destiny that it is the kind of it's not me, it's not you, it's me thing. There's some I cannot connect with that game.
Not the second one.
It's not the genre. It's not the gameplay. There's just this overall thing that I cannot connect with it. I cannot connect with that game, and
I'm the exact same.
It's sad because on paper, it's definitely for me, but I cannot connect with it, and I don't know why.
Bad internet?
No, I've got good internet nowadays. I don't know. Well,
it was a
bad joke, but
I had to make it.
Alright, that's fine. I'm sure more details will come out, and speaking of details. I didn't even know this was happening until I saw a tweet from Matt Thorson. But apparently there's another Celeste chapter coming. brilliant.
Whoa.
It won't be ready for the anniversary on
Jesus,
January 25th.
Get the caravan in again.
The caravan's always outside.
I was never going to leave this one alone.
No, but we just ignore you.
Never leave that fucking caravan either.
Fuck the caravan, get the gun.
It's fucking hell. It's not going to be like Levels. It's just going to be a sort of a continuous chapter. There's no B-sides. But it's also set after the current hardest levels. So presumably it will be fairly hard. There'll be no strawberries to collect. And there will be some new items and mechanics. But the best till last is free.
Yep.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Matt Makes Games.
Amazing.
We'll move on to some quick sort of smaller stuff because there's a big bit, some more big news to talk about. Just a few quick hits. Yoshi's Crafted World, which I think a lot of people forgot about. That's coming, March 29th. It looks lovely, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm hoping it's more of Yoshi's Woolly World style. That game was just delightful.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, not much to say. Looks lovely. We'll review it when it gets to the time. That's it, really, isn't it? Speaking of, a game probably that we'll hit up in Switch Report, maybe do some video on, Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is coming to Switch. So Arise again. April 23rd this year. I don't know, that game didn't run great on anything.
So, man, it's a good game.
It's a great game,
but it doesn't run well on anything. And the Switch port, I'm just getting Dark Souls feelings about it.
I don't think the game looks amazing.
No.
But like, and that's where it's, for me personally, the biggest fault was. But like, yeah. I could look past it because it just felt cool. I don't know. I was just into the tone of it and stuff. And I only recently played it like when it came out on the PS4. And it was really cheap when it came out, I think, for PS4. I think it was like 25 or something
like that. Yeah, it was a cheap game. Cheap release.
It was a really cheap game. And it is loved by a lot of people. So I think it's...
That's another Capcom one as well. And Capcom seem to be the ones that price their re-releases right, basically.
Well, yeah.
For the most part. Anyway, I can't think of any of us that were overpriced. Because it's just like, why release them at like 30, 40 quid when it's basically the same thing? You know, yes. I don't quite get that. When you're releasing them at sort of 15 to 20 quid, I think that's about the right sort of price.
Well, speaking of, there's a joke in here. There's a joke in here about Capcom re-releases and Devil May Cry 5 being a remake of Devil DMC. There's a joke in here somewhere. I think we could workshop it, but let's not. Basically, it's come out that Devil May Cry 5 is about 15 hours long in playtests, which is about double the length of a normal Devil May Cry game.
Yeah, I'm worried that's a bit too long for a game like that.
Yeah, that's a lot of attitude for a long time, isn't it?
Can I just say, right, since when has it become a thing to have to mention how long
game is? Don't know.
I just don't really, like, need
care?
It.
Yeah?
I don't care, but I don't need it. Because it just makes up these conversations.
Maybe this is the thing that's replaced the whole, hey, our world is this much bigger than
Skyrim,
everyone else. Our game is longer than this game instead.
Well, it's not the only news on that game as well. Like the demo that Gary and I were not too hot on has gone away, and another one is coming. This time it's going to be to on everything, I think, PS4 and that. And
yeah,
that
PS4
demo is coming
Xbox.
On February the 7th.
Yeah. I would really like this game to, like come out, and then we could all just be like, do you know what, it sucks,
it's amazing
to get DMC 2, but that was incredible.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I'll give this a second demo
it's
a try.
No secret, we all hope that every game's going to be good, you know.
True.
No, Kingdom Hearts 3, Chris,
yeah,
this is just for you. So you. The epilogue to that game is going to be patched in a day after it's released.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, won't it? Like, I don't know what it says for reviews and that, but as a person, like if I was to buy the game on release day and get it patched in, I don't really understand the issue.
What if you haven't got the internet?
Well,
what if you've just gone and bought the game and you want to play
it? Get with the times. You need the internet.
Ah, Chris, that's Xbox deal with it type language.
I don't know anyone that doesn't buys games that doesn't have internet. Like if you've got a PS4, you've got internet. So well, I don't
also,
really get...
also, just to clarify, sorry, because I don't want people thinking I'm being harsh here. The epilogue is a video, and basically the specification is that if you will need to have completed Kingdom Hearts 3 and seen the ending to be able to view this video. So when you hear that the epilogue is being patched in, you kind of think, "Fuck me, they're having to patch the end of the game." That's not what it is.
Yeah. It's not too bad, because you think an epilogue isn't technically, you know, it's not the ending, if you know what I mean. There's nothing to say that the game's ending isn't going to be good enough as it is. Mm. So if anyone does that and then doesn't watch the epilogue, and you know, they could well have been like, okay, that's cool, I've seen the end, I liked that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas, you know, here's where this might be going next or something like that.
By the time you get to the epilogue, like, I'm sure 99% of people are going to be confused anyway, so it probably won't mean anything.
I mean, the bigger problem for me right now, when this is a very much an industry sort of problem, is that the game is out at the time of recording in pretty much 2 weeks, and we haven't fucking got it yet, and it's probably 50 hours long.
Yeah.
And normally you'd be like, fair enough, but it's finished. People have had it since December. They snuck, you know.
Yeah, I remember that getting leaked.
Kind of frustrating, like that. But you know, again, devil's advocate. I doubt many people are waiting for reviews of this game. It's been that long coming. No one cares about a review for this game.
The one thing that gets me though is it's like this is the first one on Xbox, and it's like, is this going to be a game where you can play
it and understand it? It has to be. Yeah. There has to be.
You'd hope
they can't. They even if it's like a 3-hour movie, which they could patch in. I don't know.
I'd watch that.
Do you know what? I would watch that and then still not play the games. I want to play 3 because I think 3 looks different and interesting. Yeah. I don't know. But Adam, do you want to play SNES games on your Switch?
Hey, I definitely do.
Well, people have data mined as they are want to do, and found, basically, they discovered that Nintendo Switch's online service, which is amazingly called Nintendo Switch Online, basically could have SNES games coming to it. We don't know, but people have ruined any surprise because they've data mined it, and
that's why I don't like data mining.
I'm going to say straight out that this kind of shit shouldn't be a rumor. It shouldn't be anything. It should just be there. It should just be out. Like, I'm sorry, but like these games, they should all be there. Like,
it's frustrating because if this is true, just confirm it.
That's what I mean. Like, it's like I actually during Christmas I signed up for the online for the year.
That was a mistake.
I got it for Smash, and Jesus Christ, Smash just ran like absolute bum, and I was like, well, this is just terrible.
I went into the
NES thing, and I was like, well, fuck, these games are pretty dog shit. Like, do you know, it's just, so I kind of just was down money, and I was like, damn it, so this better happen, and it better have like a massive catalogue. Like, I mean, there's no reason why they can't. Like,
Sunset Riders.
I'm gonna say right away, it's not gonna have a massive catalogue from the start. It's gonna be like two or three games.
Get back in that caravan.
it's gonna start off with like two or three games, and you're gonna have to wait.
Super Metroid, Link to the Past, we're gonna get them at the start. That's what's gonna be. And then like, whatever, people will be bitching, but why didn't you add that? And I'll probably be one of those people going, why didn't you add that? And then, like, whatever, they won't add it. And then we'll be all annoyed and giving out about the online thing, probably. But really, what we're waiting for here is the GameCube thing. That's what I want. I want.
I think it's just a case of, as everyone keeps asking, it's like, where's your virtual console?
Yeah,
not coming. They literally said they wouldn't be doing virtual console.
It's daft. It's like, we're not doing that, but we are basically doing it with the Switch Online. Just at the moment, only with.
No. What they're doing, Gaz, is they're not doing it because this way they can charge you again for the eighth time you've owned that game.
I swear to God, though, right, Adam? Like, it's funny you say that, but I actually would pay.
I know you would. That's why they're doing it.
Exactly, because I'll tell you what.
You're part of the problem.
He's massively part of the
problem. Where's your fucking caravan?
Wait a second, let's not get too rowdy here. Listen, my thing here is that, like, I have no other way of playing Zelda games. Like, I honestly don't. Like, there's a lot of Zelda games I don't have, and I always like to go back and play them because it's my favourite franchise. So, like, there's
Can't be that much of a favourite if you've not fucking played them.
Shut your fucking mouth now.
Hey, no, let's not get too rowdy. Actually, let's talk about Ubisoft. Or, no, let's talk about Steam.
Sex, baby.
Wait.
Well, Steam, yeah. So, I think this is the biggest story, personally. Ubisoft are releasing The Division 2 on Epic Games Store. Not Steam.
Boom. Mic drop. It's a big deal. Very big deal.
It's huge.
It's interesting.
It's what? Guess?
It's interesting.
Go on.
Just interesting. That's it.
That's great commentary, mate. It's not like we're on a podcast or anything, you know.
For some reason, I just see Gaz like peeking out the door while saying that at the camera spot. It's interesting, isn't it? And we're just like, get back in. Get the brush. Poof.
No, I mean, it's just like everything gets released on Steam, doesn't it? But
this will come to Steam. It's just not going to come to Steam on release date.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like they. Epic Games Store is kind of becoming the thing. But
I fired it up today and updated it, and I like what I saw. It's pretty minimal at the moment because they haven't got that much on it, but I've literally loaded it up while we're talking now. And so what they're doing is a kind of PlayStation Plus thing where they're giving away games. So like What Remains of Edith Finch is free right now, which is a fantastic game, and they're giving it away.
Amazing.
The Jackbox Party Pack is being given away from January the 24th, which is another fantastic game. They haven't got the games Steam have got, but they've got The Division, obviously, that's coming. Ashen, Donut County, Gorogoa, Hades, of course, the early access game is exclusive. They've got Hello Neighbor, they've got Darksiders 3, Genesis Alpha 1 is at pre-order, they've got Super Meat Boy, of course, Fortnite, of course, My Time at Porsche, the embargo lifts, it will have lifted by the time you hear this. The Walking Dead, of course, the final season is sort of... It's kind of exclusive to Epic Games Store as well. If you've already bought it on Steam, you will get the episodes, but you can't buy it now if you haven't, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, they've got Subnautica, they've got Satisfactory, they've got Rebel Galaxy, Outer Wilds. I'm just going down the page. Journey coming soon. Maneater, Super Meat Boy Forever, World War Z, and of course Shadow Complex and Unreal Tournament. That's what it says, Journey, coming soon. Annapurna,
I didn't even know that was ever on PC, but...
I mean, I'm not breaking the embargo. I'm looking at the store here.
Yeah, that's a new one on me.
Yeah, there's no information on it.
That's interesting, then.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing. That's like
it's just on the store, like, right? Here, coming
Journey,
soon.
As far as I know, is always like the PlayStation exclusive. Yeah. So
it does. It's got a description of it, and it says originally released on PlayStation, created by that game company, published by Annapurna. You know, you can click follow Journey, but that's a Twitter banner. And there's screenshots. You know, it's got a friend thing. I've got 29 friend requests on the Epic Games Store. Looks like they're all people I've played Fortnite with. Fairly bare bones at the moment, but I can click library and I can see my games.
So.
I think it's great. I'll be honest with you. I think it's really good competition because I think Steam have had the market lead for such a long time and they haven't like, do you, anyone who plays game, because you play a lot of games on Steam, like, do you use any of the features in Steam apart from the button that says play?
Not really. No,
like, I don't use the friends.
What else do you want to use?
Well, like, but that's not what I'm saying. Like, other systems have got like trophy systems and like Steam achievements, like, not interesting.
It's like even like the your cards and stuff like that. It's like, oh cool, I've got cards, but I don't do anything with them.
I made £3 off one
once. That, I think, don't they?
I made £3 once.
That's it. Most of the time, I'll get a card. It's like, I'll just stick it straight on the store, and cause I don't care. You know.
I think what this Epic stuff has done for me personally is that I feel excited about PC gaming again. Not that I ever didn't play PC games. You know, I play whatever, but I'm not fast what format it's on, and never have been. But it's got me thinking about getting a graphics card upgrade, which I'm desperately in need of anyway. But it's got me thinking about. Things are going to heat up. This is going to be exciting again. Like, it's not just, it's coming to Steam and then there'll be Uplay and Origin and like, it's just got me a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Nobody talks about Origin anymore, do they?
As Uplay is.
It's weird. I think this is it's a good move. I don't necessarily agree with exclusive stuff on the PC stores.
But it's not exclusive because you can buy it on Uplay still.
Yeah, but it's just like in general. But I do think a new game store. Another, I mean, there's others out there. You know, you've got GOG and stuff like that out there. But what Epic seems to be doing is, I mean, they're basically, they've gone, look, we've made a fuck ton of money. Now let's do something with it.
Well, what they've also done is said, hey, 2 million people or whatever. I mean, what's, hang on a sec, I'm going to have to Google this as well. Fortnite player counts, right? Sorry about the clicking. So Epic announced in a blog post in June that the number of Fortnite players has risen to a staggering 125 million, right? That means there are 125 million people with an Epic account.
Yeah.
Which means they've all already got an Epic account. They just need to log in on the PC and it's already there.
Yeah.
So that they've got an inbuilt, you know, it's not going to be, because a lot of people are going to be on mobile and never going to know, but it's generally an inbuilt audience of 100 million, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they could email these people, you know, if they're, obviously if they've signed into that.
GDPR, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, if they could, you know, hey, we've got our store on PC now with all these games, you know, so...
Hey, two of them are free.
Yeah, you've got plenty of scope here. I'd be interested to see how this develops, like, over this next year.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it, of course. But let's move into listener correspondence before we close the show out. Not much this week. We're going to make one of the questions from last week a recurring one, just because it was fun. But this week, Thomas has asked, following last week's chat about cheese, and he says he agrees wholeheartedly with Nicola's comments about the Aldi's praise for Aldi. What type of cheese is your favourite, Chris?
Gouda.
Okay.
You sound excited.
It does.
I'm just...
I'll have
cheese. I don't buy cheese balls. I'm not an Adam or a Nicola. I just like some cheese grated.
I'd say right now, Chris, though, you wouldn't want cheese, which are cold.
No.
Probably just make it just... to turn it to carnage, would it? Well,
I wouldn't be able to enjoy it as much anyway, because I can barely taste anything as it is. I'm going to go for Gouda, though.
It's a nice cheese.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Adam?
I was gutted I missed this chat, because cheese to me is life.
Yeah.
and that's that. If I'm honest, I don't know how to explain this cheese, but it's, like, once again, Aldi. Aldi is the go-to for me for cheese. Mm-hmm. You can get a block of cheese in Aldi, right? And... tell me now if you know what I'm on about, right? But it's a white cheese, white cheddar cheese, right? But you know that white vintage cheddar, right? That almost has these, like, nutty things in it. Like, it almost feels like someone put little grain, like, little stones
in
your
Wensleydale,
cheese.
Is it?
What?
Wensleydale.
Never heard of Wensleydale in my life.
Have you ever watched Wallace and Gromit?
Well, I've seen it. Chris. I wouldn't have...
Oh, because he's like, it's one of his catchphrases. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say it, but yeah, anyway.
But that anyway, and fuck it, like, to be honest, just give me all the cheese. I don't really know why I'm even picking a favourite one. Just give me fucking everything. Just halloumi, brilliant. Cheddar, brilliant. Blue cheese is questionable.
Yeah, you know, same. I tried salmon, it was all right, but I used to hate the smell of it. Sometimes
you know
a really strong.
Bed.
No, it's not. But sometimes like a really strong cheddar that crumbles as you cut it.
That's the one I'm talking about. You're on the same page.
But it's just cheddar.
Ah, no. Hang on, no. It's like they call it cheddar, but I think they should call it, like, I don't know, Super Mario cheddar or something like that. It's just looks amazing.
Okay. Yeah, I just like most cheeses, like. Do you know, I'm having a bit of a brain fart. I could call my wife and ask her to tell me which cheeses I like, because there's quite a few of them. Like, I do like a brie. I do like brie with a bit of onion chutney. Red onion chutney with some brie. Very nice. Yeah.
I can see Gaz, like... am I just,
he
just
won't
gonna
like
say,
cheese, Adam.
Gaz is just going to say Gaz or something.
He's just going to say, I don't like cheese,
is
what he's going to say.
What I'm going to say is I can't really have cheese.
Yeah, I think we have actually had this chat before.
But it doesn't stop me now and again. But I don't really have a favourite. It's just like I'll have some, I don't know, like a red Leicester is quite nice sometimes.
Very
nice.
The mildest very nice. Of the cheeses. Come
cheddar,
on, that is.
Well, you know, if it's someone who can't really have cheese, then, you know, I'm not going to go for the full bullshit.
Stop cheese shaming.
I'm sorry.
What's red Leicester? Let him have it.
But no, yeah,
I'm a fan of it.
I don't really have a particular favourite, but I just, you know, I can't have it that much. So.
Guys, that's all right, my man. You respect it. That's all that matters. You can come on out.
Am I?
Adam's not allowed beer, but he drinks it anyway. Yeah, he's brave. He's not scared. He's not scared of dying.
I'd fall apart after a pint.
I bet. I know. But Chris falls apart after watching Finding Nemo, so.
Yeah, all right.
I've been waiting all week for an opportunity to somehow.
I wish I hadn't shared my soul with you all.
No, it's always a mistake.
Yeah.
McPoo asked last week, and I'm going to ask it again until it stops being fun. You have to spend the next 24 hours in the world of the last video game you played. Will you survive and will you have a nice time? Adam, you weren't here last week, so I think we should start with you. The last game you played, what was it?
I definitely wouldn't survive and I definitely wouldn't have a nice time because...
Oh, you played Resident Evil 2's demo, didn't you?
No. Silent Hill 2.
Oh my god.
That's the thing. When this question was first asked, obviously I wasn't on last week. The last game I had played was Silent Hill 2
at
that
time as well. But what is it this week, though?
See, now it's a shit one because it's Dead or Alive 6, that beta, and it's like, that's basically just this world.
You have a nice time.
Just beach volleyball.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like Dead or Alive Extreme 3 or something like that, then yes, I'd have a very good time, I'm sure.
Okay. Guys, I don't know why.
Get back in the caravan and lock the fucking door. You'll save yourself.
I don't know why I can't get the vision of Gaz in a Dead or Alive game. Just in the middle of all these girls.
I'd get the shit kicked out of me.
Just like, it's like he's watching a tennis match, left, the right, the left. Chris, what was the last game you played?
Yeah, so it was a demo, Resi demo.
Oh, you're dead.
I'd be pretty fucked. And I wouldn't have a nice time. Unless it was before it all happened, and I was in a nice coffee with Marvin.
There you go.
See, for me, the last game I played was New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe. And that's a more complicated answer.
It is, actually.
You'd just be there fucking eating mushrooms.
But do I exist in a 3D world? Like, so even though Mario's a 2D game, if you're Mario, is there three dimensions?
I think the real question as well, Adam, is how hard is your head?
Yeah.
A lot of concussion.
That's a really personal question,
smash
Adam.
Smash off a block, I'm sure you're going to be out. Like.
That's a really personal question for a podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
No need for that at all.
Why do I always answer those ones?
I think I'd have a nice... Well, the thing is, like, Bowser kidnaps Peach, but it's like he doesn't really mean it, does he? Because
he can't be
that useless. Can he?
No, because I mean, some of the shit that he does, basically, he could easily wipe out the Mushroom Kingdom.
Yeah,
but all
but
he does
set
is go, no, I'm just going to kidnap her and wait for Mario to rock up.
So, if Mario were real and he's in this game, like as a character in a play almost, is it 2D? Is that a world of two dimensions? Because if that's the case, I've got nowhere to hide.
I feel like this is like a deeper conversation than it should be.
This is.
You might be right. Will you survive? Yes, I think I'll survive. Will you have a nice time? I mean, that all depends on if Peach is on for a bit, doesn't it, really?
Mother of God.
Jesus Christ.
I'm joking. That is obviously a joke to all our listeners. That is a definite joke. Yeah. But that is it for this week's podcast as I slowly lose the ability to speak in a hosting format. Thank you very much to Adam, Chris and Gary for being here.
Thank you.
A reminder to you, listener, that if you've enjoyed this podcast, you can go to patreon.com/godisageek, where for $1 a month, that's $1 a month, $12 a year, so basically less than a tenner in English money, for the whole year, that would cost you, where you'd get every podcast early, you get every podcast, there's like a bonus pod in there. Last week, I talked to my boys about games around Christmas. This week, you've had a movie review. We're trying to do something a bit different, you know, try and make it feel like a bonus pod within a pod. But you also get early access to videos, and generally we give away codes. I you know, we try to give away as much as we can. It said there's a private Discord channel where we all chat. We're going to try and arrange some multiplayer stuff. It's well worth, I think, £10 a year. There or thereabouts, I'd say $12, you know, off the conversion. Give it a try. Patreon.com/GodIsAGeek. You know, why not? Hey, if you enjoyed this podcast, do go to iTunes, rate us 5 stars. Of course. Give us a review, helps visibility. I hesitate doing this stuff every week because I think people who listen probably get fed up of hearing it. So I will just say thank you very much to everyone who does listen. We're well into it now. Where are we? It's Resident Evil. Well, I would like to think we'll be playing Resident Evil 2 by the next time you talk. I don't know. At least one of us hopefully will be reviewing it by then. I really hope so, because I hope that Capcom are confident and send that game out nice and early. They did with Resi 7, so there's his hope. Resident Evil is well and truly back, I think, and I'm delighted, and I know Gary, Adam and Chris are too. But for you, dear listener, we'll speak to you next week, or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.